good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we're going to have a Malbec. It's been a while since we've tried one. We're going to try one tonight and see if it's every bit as good as I heard it's been. So I heard it is. First flub of the show. I'm like 10 seconds in. There we go. Well, look, we're going to try this out and see if it's good, especially for the price. I really couldn't believe the price when I saw it, and I'll tell you all about it very, very shortly. Also, we've got some national days to toast. We're going to toast some national days, and we're going to talk about the resurgence of vinyl records. There is some significance to that, so we're going to talk about that tonight. And also, what else we got? Oh, yeah, we're going to, I got to need my show notes here, huh? We're going to talk about a new book that I just released, and maybe someone here in the chats will have a chance to win one. I hope you'll get in the chats and join me here, and we'll give a chance to give a few of them away. I'd like to give some away tonight if I could. Also, we'll tell a few dad jokes. We get in the chats. Give me your best, your worst dad jokes, and we'll have a little bit of fun with that. We're going to keep this kind of a short show tonight. We're also going to keep it kind of a light show tonight. And by the way, Mil Puglio is in the chat. Mil Puglio says cheers, and right back at you, Mil Puglio. You know what I forgot to do tonight? I forgot to turn on my lights. There we go. Now I'll turn on my lights. There we go. Well, they're not coming out. They'll come on. Come on. Oops, that one just went off. There we go. It's always something. Anyway, Mil Puglio, thanks for being here tonight to join us. By the way, if you're joining me for the first time or the 212th time, because this is the 212th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. Now, I do have my show notes. They're right here. I just referred to them a few moments ago, and I will probably refer to them from time to time throughout the show, but I don't follow them verbatim. Because we rely more on the chats. You direct the show. This show is not about me. This is not my show. I'm just here to entertain you and drink some wine. But this is not really about me. It's somewhat about the wine a little bit. But the show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night, kicking back with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are, and just having a great time. That's what it's all about. So get in the chats and join in, because really you direct the show. You direct where the show goes. Now, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. We don't talk about things that break people apart. We talk about things that bring people together, because that's what wine does. And we're trying to keep with that philosophy to bring people together and just everybody just get together, forget about the worries of the day, the troubles of the world, and just having a good time. That's all it's all about. And Mil Puglio says, I had a gin and tonic earlier, classic cocktail. It is indeed a gin and tonic. Yes, it is a classic cocktail. And there are a few of them. We've made a few cocktails in the show in the past, and I hope to do that in the coming weeks. We're going to do a few more cocktails. We're going to make them right here on the show. And those are kind of fun to do. They get a little messy sometimes, but they're fun to do. If you want to join in the chats, you can join on our Facebook page, facebook.com/drinkwithrick. YouTube channel, youtube.com/drinkwithrick. Twitch is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick and the number one, all one word, drinkwithrick1. We're not on Twitter right now. We're not streaming on Twitter, but you can tweet me @drinkwithrick. And we're on Odyssey. Odyssey is @drinkwithrick, /7. And we hope to be adding another venue or two to that shortly. Also, the podcast. I've got to mention the podcast. The podcast goes out Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. So if you can't watch now, you can't watch later, you can listen anytime on demand on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio only until I think about towards the end of the month. Stitcher Radio is going away towards the end of the month. I think it's the 28th. I think it's when it's ending. Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, PodcastIndex.org. That is the Podfather's site, Adam Curry's site. And by email, if you go to drinkwithrick.com, click on the subscribe page, click on that little blue button that says by email, put your email address in the little box, and send it off to me, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick, the podcast, as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. It's just for the podcast. Also, you can buy me coffee, do all those other things. Buy me coffee if you want to, or two or three. I think it's right there. You can see it on the side, on the right-hand side there, if you want to help support the show. This show is supported by mostly by me. I'm not doing ads or sponsorships really right now, per se. I haven't really been. The show is really a show. It's a labor of love. It's something I do more for fun than anything else. But you know what? If you like and subscribe, feel free to do so. There's no obligation. But if you want to, please feel free to like and subscribe and ring the bell and all that kind of stuff, all those fun things on all these venues, Twitch and well, you can't really subscribe on Twitch because I'm not really a Twitch affiliate right now. But you can like and follow me on Twitch. You can follow me on Odyssey and YouTube and all those places. If you want to do that, it would be much appreciated, but there's no obligation to do any of that. And I know that 80% of people that watch this show don't actually do that, which is okay because a lot of them are in venues where they can't necessarily. Some of them are watching in the local bar and, you know, big screen TV. Some of them are watching at home with family and friends on their smart TV and that sort of thing. So it's not always feasible to do that, but if you can, it'd be much appreciated. But I don't like to harp on that too much because, once again, I'm doing this more for fun. This is just kicking back on a Saturday night, just having a good time. All right, so gin and tonic, yes, that is a classic cocktail. And, you know, one of my favorite gins, gin cocktails is a, I like martinis, so I have a vodka martini from time to time, but I actually like gin martinis, very, very dry, with a lot of extra olives in them. So that's one of my favorite gin drinks. Good stuff. And although I try to limit how many I have, because I don't want to overdo it, but it's all good stuff. Anyway, let me show you what we're going to be drinking tonight, but let me get to the other chats here, see who's in the chats. I forgot to put my good evening in all the chats here once again. My lovely wife, Chi, is in the chat and YouTube. She's watching. Oh, and I have to show you what she made tonight for tonight's food pairing. As you know, my lovely wife, Chi, prepares the foods that we pair with the wine, and she does these really wonderful presentations, food presentations. She has one tonight, and yes, it has to do with a couple of the national days that we're going to toast tonight. So I hope you'll join in with the toasting, and I'll show it to you in just a few moments. Let me make sure I've got everything. Okay, we're good everywhere. Good. All right. So let's get into the wine, and let me show you what we have tonight. Tonight, we have... Oh, that worked, didn't it? Tonight, we have a Domaine d'Argentine. Domaine d'Argentine. And it's called Terroir Selection Malbec. This is from Mendoza, Argentina. This is a 2021. Now, I'm going to read the back of it. We have the back of the wine. That worked, too. Domaine d'Argentine, Terroir Selection, Malbec, and it says this Malbec is the result of sourcing grapes from our high-altitude vineyards located within Luján de Cuyo and Uco Valley at 2,700 feet and 3,300 feet above sea level, respectively. Here the winters are chilly, summers are dry and hot, nights are cool, and the vines are fed by the snow-melt water from the Andes Mountain. Enjoy our Domaine. And this is a product of Mendoza, Argentina. It's imported by Ivaki Incorporated in San Luis Obispo, California. And it's getting harder to read as I go down to the bottom of this thing. And let's see if I can find the... Yeah, it's 13% ABV. alcohol by volume in this 750 milliliter bottle of red wine. So that's what we've got going on tonight. Let's see. Oh, I've got to show you what we've got to pair this food with, the wine with. Little glitches all the time. Okay, this is what we have to pair the wine with tonight. It's nothing fancy. We, you know, oftentimes have other fancy items there, and it's usually all leftovers. And this one's not leftovers tonight. My wife made it especially for the show. But we have a little bit of meatball, and we have a little bit of cheese just to pair it with, see how it fares with the meat and the cheese. This is a cheddar over here, and this is a beef meatball, ground beef meatball. And then we have this presentation here, and that's a bowling alley. If you can't tell, I didn't get a side shot of it, but I didn't have time to do that before the show. This is a bowling ball in a lane with some bowling pins. And we have, maybe I can pick it up and show it to you later. I'll try to do that without messing it up. And this is a record, a vinyl record. Well, it's not actually a vinyl record. It's supposed to represent one, but it is a it's a record. And it has to do with our little discussion tonight about vinyl records resurging. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So let's get into opening the wine. I think that's the exciting part. Start drinking. And by the way, Milpolio, what do you have to snack on tonight with the gin and tonic? You had one earlier. Are you drinking anything now at the moment? It's just fine. I like, I was going to see about bringing up a Bailey's Irish Cream here and adding it to making a little cocktail with that and something else, but I didn't have time for the show. Might do that next week. Also, I went by our local O'Darby's, that's how you pronounce it, O'Darby's in South Carolina. And they have some little miniature, you know, the little miniature bottles of it. They have, moonshine. Now, of course, it's commercially made moonshine, not from up in the hills. Of course, being in North Carolina, yes, there are folks that do make moonshine up in the hills. Watching out for those revenuers. Mighty strong stuff, but what they have here is commercial moonshine, and it's 100 proof, so that's strong stuff. I've opted to not really drink it because I love my liver too much. Anyway, we might try it in the show in the future. I don't know. Not much, just a little bit. All right, so we have the wine is open. I have the aerator in the bottle, no displacement per se. And then to hold the grape nectar, I have my trusty Galway genuine Irish crystal glass given to me by my employers at buytwowayradios.com. And to hold the glass, I have my trusty official, this is the official Drink with Rick coaster, wine coaster, I'm going to set it on. And by the way, if you're interested, email me and I will tell you how you can get a pair of these free. All right, so we're going to pour a little bit of this into the glass. Just a little bit for starters. And we'll set that aside. And we'll give it a good swirl, nice big swirl. You know, a couple of reasons for doing the swirling. People say, why do people swirl the wine? Well, a couple of reasons for it. One is because it helps get the oxygen into the wine, helps it open up and breathe, and gets that it helps kind of aerate it somewhat, gets the flavors out, gets the aromas out, and it's fun. It's just plain fun. All right, so we've got to just do it some more. How about that? Yeah, some swirling. I'm not a professional sommelier. I'm not a professional swirler either. I just like to drink and swirl wine, not necessarily in that order. Okay, so let me tell you what we have here about this wine. Let me check the chats first, actually, one more time, see who's in the chats. Okay, we're kind of good. The first 20 minutes or so, usually kind of quiet, and then it gets going. All right, so back to the wine. All right, so I checked around online to see if I could find some information on this wine. Really didn't find a whole lot on it. Really, there wasn't a whole lot on it. I looked it up, and there were other Malbecs, and there were other Malbecs that were like sort of a Domaine d'Argentine or sort of a Mendoza Malbec, but it wasn't this particular label. I did find a couple places where it was listed. One of those, of course, was Vivino. I was kind of hoping I could find it on Wine Searcher and get some pricing on it, some median pricing where everyone could pick up a bottle if they wanted to. Didn't really find that, but what I did find that Vivino had it listed for $5.04, and this is the average of all users' reported prices according to their website. And according to the website, they gave it 3.5 stars out of 5 stars and 319 ratings. And they do say this vintage, the 2021 vintage, rates better than any other year for this wine, so it's got that going for it, apparently, and that's hopeful. So we'll give this a little taste and see if we like it. I will tell you what I paid for it, because I have the receipt right here. And I purchased mine from Trader Joe's, our local Trader Joe's in Charlotte, North Carolina. And for this 750 milliliter bottle of Domaine d'Argentine Malbec, I paid... Oh, I need a drum roll, don't I? Yeah, drum roll. Here we go. That's a rim shot. Where's my drum roll? There it is. I paid $4.99. Did anybody hear the drum roll? I don't know if I heard it. I didn't hear it. $4.99 is what I paid for it in Trader Joe's. So that's 2 cents cheaper than what the median price is on Vivino's site. So we'll give it a little bit of a whiff. Lots of cherry in this wine. Lots of cherry and maybe a little bit of raspberry. Let's give it a taste. Lots of cherry, and there is some raspberry. Maybe just a little hint of blackberry in there. Fairly smooth, actually. There's some tannin. It's kind of medium tannin in this wine, but it's not a really heavy wine. It's actually fairly. It's not really that bold. It's sort of medium all the way around. And it has a fairly, it's not a very long finish, but it's a fairly nice one. Very smooth finish. Yeah, cherry. And actually the raspberry is starting to show up more in this, and maybe just a little bit of oakiness to it. Not a lot, but a little bit. But it's not. It's actually a fairly smooth Malbec. It's actually, I think it's a little bit lighter than some Malbecs I've had before. It has a nice complexion to it. And in these lights, the lights don't really do it justice. It makes everything look dark. It's not, it's a very deep ruby red. But it looks bolder. You know how some wines, they just look really heavy and bold when you put them up to the light? And it sort of looks that way, but it doesn't taste like that at all. It has a very medium kind of taste. Like I said, the tannins are actually a little bit on the lighter side. I'd still say medium, light to medium tannin. But it's not really that bold. It's kind of medium, fairly well balanced, but it actually is a fairly smooth wine, and I like it. Of course, I love the taste of cherry, and that's pretty good. Just a slight hint of oak, not a lot. Just a little bit. Something else in there. What is that? Maybe I can't really pick that up. It's Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. I'll have to let it open up a little bit more. Interesting. Could be my mouth. Inside of my mouth. We had tacos for dinner. It's still sitting with me a little bit. I'll tell you what, we can go ahead and pair it with some food. Before I do that, let's get into the chat and see who we have in the chat. And still kind of quiet in the chat. Let me see what's going on here on Facebook. Oh, and Rhonda likes the video. Rhonda, thanks for liking the video. Really, really appreciate it. Join in the chat and say hi. And by the way, I have a new book that I want to give away a couple of these tonight. And stick around, Milpulio. I really would kind of like to give away my new book. So, Rhonda, I think you have a copy of the wine tasting notebook. I have a different one tonight. I think you'll like that. All right, let's check around. And, Chi, let's see. We had, what are the bowling pins made out of on this? Let me show you this again on camera three. Okay, this is from the top down. I think I'm going to try to pair the food a little bit here before I try to pick up this plate, because I don't want to risk messing up what she did. And but those are bowling pins, and I think they're made out of carrots, if I'm not mistaken, correct? They're made out of carrots. By the way, everything she makes here with these food presentations is edible. Just about everything on there is edible, except maybe some of the labels sometimes. But everything else is. All right, let's go ahead and do some pairing. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try pairing it with the meatball. I'm doing this with my left hand, actually. All right. Camera three's up. Let's get back to camera. Oh, here we go. Try it with a little meatball. And these are great meatballs, by the way. Gee, where do you get these meatballs again? You get these from Trader Joe's, too. Or Sam's or somewhere. Whoa. Now, it really does bring out the flavor of the meatball a lot more. This actually works very well with the meatball. The meatball itself is kind of mild. It's not really spicy or anything. It's really good. I love these meatballs, and I can eat a whole lot of them. But there's no sauce on it. There's no real spices in it, per se. So it's kind of there are a few herbs and things in it, but it's not super spicy. And I think with this wine is somewhat mild. And I think with the medium to light tannin, I think this works really well with that meatball. And I think if it was a bolder wine, I'd probably need a spicier meatball to pair with that bolder wine. But this works really well. So I like that. I'm going to go ahead and clear the palate for a moment. All right, let's go back to camera three. And let's try it with the cheddar cheese. This is just regular cheddar cheese. I think it's a medium cheddar. So being a medium cheddar, I think a mild cheddar or medium cheddar would work fine with this. If it was a really sharp cheddar, it might be better with a slightly bolder wine. This should work okay. Makes it nice and creamy. I like it. Nice and creamy, but it's not. Here's the thing with this cheese, the cheddar. I think the wine kind of takes over the cheddar just a little bit. And that's just because I just had a small piece of cheddar. But I think the wine overpowers the cheddar just a little bit. But it's pretty good. I mean, it's a pretty decent pairing. I think it works pretty well with this wine. I like it so far. I think that's what we've got for the taste. We're not doing a big tasting tonight. In fact, we're doing kind of a shorter show tonight, I think, just to keep things light. We're doing a light show. Let's see if I can have my light show here. That's the wrong one. We're going to have a light show. If I can get, come on. I said we're going to have a light show. It's supposed to be auto. Okay, well, that's not cooperating tonight. Nothing seems to be cooperating tonight. Okay, now it's working. A light show. Yeah, that's the first of many bad dad jokes to be presented tonight. Okay, so let's go to directly to this plate. I want to show you what this thing looks like. Because from the side view, because I did not get a picture of it beforehand before the show. I'm trying to be very careful with this. Let me go camera two. It might be better. Okay, so this is supposed to be a bowling alley. A bowling alley, and the bowling balls are made of black olives. And then you have a bowling lane. It looks like it was carved out of, the bowling lane was carved out of a cucumber. And then we have the bowling pins. They're carved out of carrots. She spent a little bit of time on this, I think. I think she did a fabulous job on it. It looks really nice. I like that. I have to get some of the food out of the way here. There we go. It's just, it's really nice, isn't it? I didn't have time to take a photo of it from the side view tonight, so I'm having to hold it up to the camera. But it's really, really nice. I like it. Very cool. As always, she sort of outdone herself on that one. Now, and then, of course, we have the vinyl record. Now, the reason for this is because we're going to start toasting the national days, and these are two of the national days that we're going to toast. Is everyone ready for toasting? Let me see. Okay, Chi says meatballs from Sam's. Okay, so the meatballs from Sam's Club, they're pretty good, actually. And what else we have here? So, Milpulio, do you have another gin and tonic? You have something else to toast with? Anybody else? Ron, you're watching, just feel free to toast along with us. And anyone else watching or in the chats? Let me check. We have folks watching. Just not in the chats, but feel free to jump in the chat, say hi. All right, so let's go ahead and do... I'm going to take the hat off first. It's getting sweaty anyway. Let's go ahead and put on our toasting backer up here. And let's... we need some more wine, too. Let's get ready to toast the national days, because we do have a few national days to toast. By the way, these national days come courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is Marlo Anderson's website. He is the CEO, and he is the curator of all these national days that we toast every week on Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And here's to you, Marlo, and your staff. Thank you. And, by the way, I'm still waiting for that ambassadorship. No pressure. All right. So August 12th, which is today, for another hour and, 26 minutes. August 12th is World Elephant Day. Yes, it is World Elephant Day. I do not have an elephant. I don't have a son of an elephant or anything like that. I don't have one. I got this. I don't know. Not even close, right? All right, so it's World Elephant Day. I'll drink to World Elephant Day. Why not? The world needs elephants. To World Elephant Day. It's also National Julian Fries Day. And that's something I have, a term I've not heard in a little while, because I used to hear that term when Ron Popeil, back in the day, you know who Ron Popeil was? He would have all of the little as seen on TV gadgets, including the handy dandy slicers and What was the one thing that he had that was the the knife, the serrated knife, it could cut through anything, and it could cut through tin cans and things like that. And he would demonstrate that. And then he would have this slicer that he would promote on one of his commercials. And I remember him saying, "It slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries, and it makes a great gift for mom." Yeah, and that, and of course, the julienne fry thing kind of caught onto that. We did our parodies in the past. Anyway, here's to National Julienne Fries Day. Wow, my throat's drier than I thought. Need more wine. Here's to National Julienne Fries Day. I will drink to that. Like a good julienne fry. It's also National Middle Child Day. August 12th is National Middle Child Day. This is for the middle child, like Malcolm in the Middle, you know, all the middle children in the world. And I was not a middle child. I had siblings who were middle child children. I was not a middle child. My lovely wife, I think she was the youngest in her family, so she was not a middle child. But if you were a middle child, put it in the chat. Tell me about being a middle child, because I know the middle child usually had it kind of tough, right? At least according to the TV shows that I used to watch about, what is it? There was the middle, and there was Malcolm in the Middle, and there was a bunch of shows where about middle children that they had it tough, you know? And they weren't the eldest, they weren't the youngest. They were kind of like sometimes they were saying they were the forgotten child. And that's not true. I mean, not most cases that I know of. But, the middle child could have it tough from what I heard. Hey, being the eldest was sometimes kind of tough, too. And my wife could attest that being the youngest could be tough, too. So I think it's all a matter of perspective, really, when you get right down to it, don't you think? Unless, of course, you're the middle child. Middle children had it tough. Anyway, here's to National Middle Child Day. I'll drink to that. Also, it's International Youth Day. August 12th is International Youth Day. I will drink to that. We need our youths. They are the future of our society. It's also National Garage Sale Day. It makes sense. I mean, Saturday is kind of the day that most people have a garage sale, right? Second Saturday in August, which would be this Saturday, today, or what's left of it, National Garage Sale Day. I did not go around and look for any garage sales, and we were busy with some dogs this morning, taking care of dogs. Yeah, we have some dogs in the house now. It's nice having dogs in the house again. They're a handful, but they're great, great pups. They're really, really great pups. National Garage Sale Day. I'll drink to that. And by the way, some of the things I'm going to show you here in a couple of minutes, I got from garage sales, and I got them at a really good price, kind of collector's items, which brings us to the next national day. Today is National Vinyl Record Day. Yes, it is National Vinyl Record Day. Where's my applause? There we go. So National Vinyl Record Day is today. And in honor of National Vinyl Record Day, I'm going to pour a little more wine, and we're going to talk about vinyl records a little bit. Actually, we'll get back to that after we finish this other national day as well. We have one more. I want to show off some of my vinyl records. I have a few vinyl records to show. Here, now I had a collection of vinyl records, as many of us did, in the 60s and 70s and the 80s and so on. I had quite a collection of vinyl records. And I had a nice little stereo to play them on, a hi-fi, high-fidelity stereo. And I had some 45s. I had a nice collection of 45 records. And when CDs came about, I got really super excited about CDs, the new technology. I was always looking for the latest thing in technology. always on the cusp of that sort of thing. And I was usually, if I could afford it, I was often an early adopter of that sort of thing. So when CDs came along, I just jumped at the chance of getting CDs. And I figured vinyl records were done. I think a lot of us figured vinyl records were done. And I had personally kind of predicted that within 3 to 5 years, vinyl records were just going to go away and it was all going to be CDs. That kind of sort of happened. Now, the vinyl record didn't die completely, but the CDs did definitely take over. And they were the mainstream, and you usually found the records, the vinyl records, in the old secondhand record shops at that point. And what I was trying to do was replace, because I knew that CDs were going to kind of take over at some point, what I thought was a good decision, but looking back, I realized it was a really dumb one. I traded in or sold my vinyl record collection for CDs and just converted most of them to CDs. Now, some of them I converted to CD versions of those albums. Some of them I just went ahead and sold them and just bought new CDs. And I think the time that this was happening, I was a big fan of Jethro Tull, and I had just about their entire album collection on vinyl. And then when CDs came along, I just sold them all for a lot less than what I paid for them, by the way. And pretty much traded up or sold them all to buy the CD versions of all those albums. And I had those until most of them were stolen from me one day. And, you know, that, looking back, I think that was kind of dumb for two reasons. One, because now that the vinyl has come back, a lot of those records were more valuable now, particularly album art. And number two, because I think if whoever broke into my house to steal the CDs, if they were vinyl records, they would have had a tougher time stealing those because they were much larger and more fragile. CDs, they were able to just pick them up and go. Kind of sad. So I lost almost my entire collection of Jethro Tull CDs and a lot of other CDs that I'd collected. But I still have a few record albums that I did not sell. And I'm going to show you those in a little bit. But I did have one other album among my collection. It was one of my favorite albums. And somebody borrowed it from me and never saw it again. They borrowed it from me for a little while, never saw it again. And it was one of my favorites for a couple of reasons. One was because I liked the music and I liked the musician, but the other reason was because it was a double album and it was a fold out and it was just beautiful artwork inside. And I'm not going to say the name of the CD, the record for now. Maybe I'll tell you later if you ask. Not important anymore. It's sad, but, you know, it's – and that album art itself is worth – I mean, the cover itself is worth something, even without the records. And it was a double record set. Anyway, so what was it doing? Oh, yeah, CD. Vinyl records. Here's to National Vinyl Record Day. I'll drink to that. There's one more. It's National Bowling Day. Today is National Bowling Day. Anybody go out bowling? Anybody like to bowl? Some people love bowling. I like to go bowling. I'm not that great at it, but because I don't go bowling that much, and just, you know, every once in a while. But my sister-in-law used to love bowling. She used to love to go bowling. I don't know if she used to belong to a bowling league, and I think they did all right there. I don't know if she still does that, but going back to camera three, that is what this is for. It is to celebrate National Bowling Day. And so in honor of National Bowling Day, here's to National Bowling Day. I will drink to that. It's a fun sport. I tell you, some of those professional bowlers, those pro bowlers, they do pretty well for themselves. I've watched I've watched some bowling tournaments on TV in the past. I'm from some of these bowling leagues. Interesting stuff. And I can't even come close to that kind of a score. I really can't. I'm terrible at it. Anyway, so that is, let's get back to the toasting. Here's a National Bowling Day. All right. Let's toast some national days tomorrow, because tomorrow, if anyone's interested, we have a few national days coming up. And I have plenty of wine in here. Tomorrow will be today in about an hour and 14 minutes. So August 13th, 2023 is National Filet Mignon Day. Yes, it's National Filet Mignon Day. I would like to applaud that. I will drink to that. I love filet mignon. We don't have any, I don't think, but I will applaud that. I'll drink to that. National Filet Mignon Day. I think this would, now here's a Malbec. A lot of red wines go really good with steaks and burgers. Malbecs will go pretty well with a filet mignon. I would say it goes great with a burger, but yeah, I think this would do fairly well with a filet mignon, if that's what you got. Some other wines that would go good with a filet mignon, I would say, a nice Pinot Noir, nice Bordeaux, a Chianti. A lot of different red wines would go pretty well. Now, we had a wine last week. Do I still have that up here? I still have a photo of it up here from last week. And this was a nice wine. I was pleasantly surprised. This Pontificus, this was a 2020 GSM. GSM stands for Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. And this is a blend. And it was a really nice wine. I gave this a really good review last week, and I was very, very surprised at how good this wine was. I like a GSM that, you know, I like. Now, I've said before many times on the show that I'm not crazy about a lot of different red blends. This is one that I do happen to like. But this one I wasn't sure about, but when I tried this, and I picked up at Trader Joe's, and it was $6.99, $7, something like that. I was just floored at just how good this wine tasted, because this was like a $20 to $30 bottle of wine is what it tasted like. It tasted like a wine that was a lot more expensive. $6.99 was a pretty good bargain. So I would say I recommend this wine. And that was last week's wine. And this would go pretty well with a filet mignon. I would have this with a filet mignon by all means. Anyway, here's the National Filet Mignon Day. I will drink to that. Again, snuck another one in there. It's also International Left-Handers Day. I am right-handed. But I have you noticed I can use either hand to pour with, which makes me, I guess, for some tasks, ambidextrous, maybe. For some tasks, I can't write really with my left hand, but I can pour a bottle of wine with my left hand. I can hold a wine glass with my left hand. Here's to Here's to International Left-Handers Day. I will drink to that. All right. Notice I did that with my left hand. Yeah. Well, okay, we have one more. It's the National Spirit of 45 Day. Spirit of 45 Day. It's the second Sunday in August. I'll drink to that. All right. And I think that'll do it for the national days, right? I think we should go back and start talking about the vinyl records, because I want to show you a few vinyl records. All right, so once again, this is what we're drinking tonight. We're drinking the Domaine de Argentine. This is a Terroir Selection Malbec. This is 13. Did it say it was 13%? I think it did. Yeah, it's 13%, 13.0% alcohol by volume. Pretty decent wine so far. Fairly light drinking. I think this is something you could serve with hors d'oeuvres. You could serve with dinner, but you could also serve it to guests. I think it's actually pretty decent. $4.99 is what I paid for at Trader Joe's, and it's pretty decent. I like it. For a Malbec, it's a little bit lighter of a Malbec than what I'm used to, but it's still pretty decent. I like it. It's fine. But we will continue to try it out as the show goes on. I'll give you my final review at the close of the show as we get down into the bottle, because as I have said many times, you really don't know what the personality of the wine is like until you get down into the bottle, which is, I guess we're getting there. I know we've got plenty to drink here. Look at this. There's plenty here. Yeah. So, really?
Oh, yeah.
So, right. And, so let's check the chats one more time. A little quiet in the chat. So, oh, and Ed is in the chat. My good friend Ed is in the chat. Ed here, finally, he says. And Ed, I am so glad you're here. My good friend Ed. By the way, Ed and I go way, way back. We go way back to our Disney days in late 70s, early 80s. And really, really great guy and a good friend, a dear friend of mine. And you know what, Ed, did you catch the rewind last week on the show? Because we show, I know you missed the show itself last week, but if you caught the rewind, I premiered the Super 8 film, The Confession. I finally got that done because I was off for a few weeks and because of some health issue and a couple other things going on. But it did give me time to finish the film. And for those in the chat, the others in the chat don't know what I'm referring to. Is I've made, in my early days, I've made Super 8 films and a lot of different films. And I show them from time to time on the show. And last week, I was able to finally finish it, got it transferred, got it restored more or less to the best that I could, and showed it on Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream last week. So about 2.5 minute film. It's a kind of a short film, but it's kind of shades of, you know, a little bit of shades of The Analyst, so to speak. But it's a different kind of film. It's a little bit different from what I, from some of the other films that I've made. And I did this in coordination with the Association of Cinematic and Video Arts, or what we had, the Cinematography Club of Orlando back then. And some of the club members there, we got together one night or one evening, more or less at a club meeting, and said, hey, let's make this film. Okay. And then we just sat down and did it on the fly. So we came up with this thing pretty much in short order, and we did it in just a couple of takes, it was edited, obviously, but there wasn't a whole lot of fancy editing involved. We planned out what we were going to do, and it was fortunate that the two people who were in the film were actually pretty decent actors. They were pretty good at what they were doing, and they just had their parts down, and we had kind of a script. And then they just went ahead and delivered their lines, and they did a really fine job of it. I'm actually surprised. Everyone, the feedback that I've gotten from everybody who's seen the film said that they thought the acting was pretty good. They really liked, they thought it was very well acted. So so Ed says, did not get to Confession. Forgive me. Oh, see what you did there. Is my rim shot going? Can you hear my rim shot? There he is. I don't know. I can't hear my rim shot half the time anymore. It's all these little glitches going on. I don't know. It's just a glitchy kind of evening. But, well, you can always catch it on the fly. I tell you what, Ed, after the show, if you want to stick around, I'll show it again after the credits roll on the show. I'll show it again real quick, and you can get a chance to watch it. This is going to be kind of a short show tonight because I've got some things I have to take care of after the show and get to bed. We have a couple of new puppies in the house. Well, they're not really puppies, but they're kind of still puppies. And it's kind of nice to have dogs in the house again after we lost Cosmo a couple of years ago. It was going to be 2 years in October, but it took us a while to kind of recover from that. So it's nice to have the dogs in the house. And they're just really, really sweet dogs, really, really great dogs. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, agenda here. We got here. Oh, wait. So Resurgence of Vinyl Records. I was going to cover that. So we did toast National Vinyl Record Day. Let me show you some of what's left of my collection of vinyl records. I have here. This is a classic, and I have a couple of these actually. I've got two different albums. I've got a Weird Al Yankovic album here. Vinyl Records, it's Weird Al Yankovic. This is the Rock and Roll Records label. This is from the I Love Rocky Road and some of the other, some of the songs on here is they're Ricky and Got a Boogie, I Love Rocky Road, Buckingham Blues, Happy Birthday, Stop Dragging My Car Around. I like that. My Bologna, The Check's in the Mail, Another One Bites, Another One Rides the Bus. That was one of his first ones, by the way. I'll Be Mellow When I'm Dead, Such a Groovy Guy, and Mr. Frump in the Iron Lung. By the way, this was produced by Rick Derringer. Rick Derringer, you know, big-time music producer and produced a lot of great albums. But he produced that album for Weird Al. I also have 2001 A Space Odyssey, and this is one of those ones. This is not the one I mentioned earlier, but this is one of the ones that has a fold-out. This is kind of a classic with scenes from the movie, and this is a double album. It's missing, I think it's missing one of the albums. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe not a double record. Let me see. It's been a while since I've heard it, but it's a MGM label. 33 and a third RPM, classic stuff. A little bit scratched up, worse for wear, but it's still playable. I still have this. I had some 45s around, but I couldn't find them tonight. But I do have some 45 records around. One 45 record that I have that I was looking for and I couldn't find that's notable. Because I like, as you can tell from the Weird Al album, I like these kind of novelty records. You know, the ones that are kind of comical, the kind of stuff that Ed and I used to listen to on Dr. Demento years ago. And I had one that was from a local band. Ed, I don't know if you remember these guys, but it was a local band, and I had this on a 45, and the name, it was called The Sick Band. That was the name of the band, The Sick Band. And then the name of the song was called Boogers, and it was, I'm not gonna, yeah, you don't want to hear this song, but the song is called Boogers, and it's one of those really, really nerdy songs that I mean when she and I were dating, if I showed her this record, she would like, no, I'm not dating a nerd like that, that's just too weird. But weirder than Weird Al. But you know, so I didn't show her that record for a little while. I don't think I ever actually played it for her, but it was a little song. It was something on the B side, and I can't remember what it was on the B side, but I've got it around somewhere. And I saved it because it's a collector's item now. This record is now a collector's item. So that's interesting. And I've got a couple of 40. Oh yeah, I have a couple of 70 RPM records. I have a couple more down there, but I got a couple of these, and these are 78s. These are back before before I was born. This is what my parents were listening to. My grandparents were listening to before I was born. They put them on the Victrola and crank up the Victrola and put the big old needle on it and play it. And this was these are 78 RPM records. I know I'm handling them. It's because these are old records anyway, but I should be handling them better than I am. Some of them are scratched up. These I picked up at the garage sale. I picked these up at the garage sale, and I think I bought them for like $1 a piece or less than that or something. But these are kind of cool because they're not just any 70 RPM records. I've got one here. See, I can't play any of this stuff really because copyright issues. But this one, this RCA Victor one, this one right here is Morpheus and Wild Bill Hiccup. Yeah, Wild Bill Hiccup. This was kind of a novelty record. This because, and Ed, you would know who this is. You would know who this is. I know who this is. Because we've heard, because Dr. Mento has played him many times on the Dr. Mento show. I don't know if I can show this up close. Can I? All right. Let me see if I can get a good close-up shot so you can see who on camera two is in. I don't know if you can see that here. Can you see it? It's by Spike Jonze. Spike Jonze and his City Slickers. Wild Bill Hiccup. Spike Jonze and his City Slickers. That's a classic. No. I want to take good care of that record. Yeah. Okay. Here, Billy, hold him for a while. There you go. And then I've got this one. This is pretty cool because I'm pretty sure I've heard this on a number of different comedy a little comedy routines, comedy channels, I guess you could say, on Sirius XM. They'd have these little comic, they play all the classic comedy routines, stand-up comedy routines from the classic comics and things like that. This one I've heard many, many times on Sirius XM, but I jumped to the chance when I was in a state sale I went to. It wasn't even a garage sale. I think it was an estate sale I picked this one up. And I jumped at the chance to have this one because this is a classic one. This is by, I don't know if you can see it here. Can you see it here? Deacon Andy Griffith. Yes. Not just Andy Griffith, Deacon Andy Griffith. And yes, he is one and the same Andy Griffith from the Andy Griffith Show. Deacon Andy Griffith. And this was his stand-up comedy routine. What it was football. And I don't know, Ed, I don't know if you've heard this one. I'm pretty sure you have at some point. I think they played on Dr. Mento before, too, I think, if I remember. I'm not 100% sure, but I know I've heard it on a number of times on Sirius XM. What it was football, and it was a comedy routine. He did describing a football game as like some guy, some yahoo who just, from backwoods that had never, didn't really know what was going on. Kind of like his early character for the Andy Griffith Show is Andy Taylor before it was kind of retooled after the initial pilot for the show in the early 60s. And because in the original pilot, Andy was a lot more of a hayseed than he was later on in the show. He was really more of the, kind of the smarter of the smarter sheriff in that regard. But in the very beginning, let me put it this way, kind of more like his character in No Time for Sergeants. If you remember the movie No Time for Sergeants, that kind of hayseed kind of character. I don't know. Is hayseed politically correct now? I don't know. I don't know these days. I got to be really careful the terms I use because you don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. I came from a different era. So if that's not politically correct anymore, my apologies. But that's because I just, I mean, that's what we always called it. You know, it's just, I don't know of anything else to call it. So, you know, like Gomer Pyle. Gomer Pyle. The hayseed with heart of gold, you know? Anyway, so those were some of the classic albums that I have, and classic records, and I keep them nearby. And good stuff. Really, really, really good stuff. Classic comedy. Anyway, so vinyl records are making a resurgence. So I wanted to mention this because it is National Vinyl Record Day. For those of you who are saying, records, those are just so passé, that is not true at all. As a matter of fact, and as I said before, I thought that was going to happen. That's why I traded in most of my record albums for CDs. But now they've been, in the last 5-10 years, they never really went away, to be honest. But in the last 5 to 6 years, they've enjoyed a huge resurgence. For instance, and I'm checking this out from The Guardian. I Googled this out just to be sure. U.S. vinyl sales, this is from The Guardian, U.S. vinyl sales up 21.7% for the first half of 2023, report finds. And looking through, Googling up other things, it sort of quantifies that. It's 21.7%. And people are saying, well, why have vinyl records made such a resurgence in recent years? Well, there are a couple of reasons for it. One, and it might be somewhat misplaced, but a lot of people believe that the CD sound, the digital sound, is too sterile. And real audiophiles want to have that warmth because, yes, having the record there, an analog record sound, there's a kind of a warmth to it, and you can pick up some nuances there, some frequencies that don't come out very well sometimes in a digital recording. And that's what – I'm not saying this. This is just one of the arguments that are being posited by a lot of audiophiles. There is some truth to that because I've listened to both. I've compared both, and – I think there is a certain amount of fullness. I don't know if I could say warmth, but there's kind of a fullness to the sound on the record, the analog version, that I really don't hear often in the CD version. But another reason that they give is because of, they're saying there's a tactile experience involved. People want to these days because, now with CDs, even with CDs, it was kind of a tactile experience because you could actually physically hold the CD and play it. And that's why some people still hold on to their CDs. That's why some still listen to them. But since Apple iTunes came along and, you know, the iTunes experience and then you had the Amazon Music and the Google Play Music and all that sort of thing that Microsoft did this for a while, Microsoft Zune, where you could buy the music, just music tracks on MP3. And they're all digital, and you just download them to your, you can download them to your iPod, or you download them to your mobile phone, or whatever, you know, when the iPods were around. You could download them to these various different portable music formats, or to your desktop, or to your tablet, or whatever, and listen to them that way with earpieces. You're kind of missing that tactile experience, the experience of being able to actually hold the music, the piece of music, the recording that the music is on. Some people kind of miss that experience. There's another aspect of this too, and that is when it's not just being able to hold the music, but it's also being able to hold it and say, I purchased this, I bought it, I own it. Now, technically, no, you don't own the music, but you do own the specific medium that the music is residing on. This is actually your the piece of, the music's not your property per se, but it's the actual digital, the actual physical platter is your property that the music is sitting on. That, because you bought it, you paid for it. So technically, it's yours. You can hold it. You can, do whatever you want with it. And some people, if they wanted to transfer it over to, say, a cassette or something like that, they could generally do that. Since the digital age, they can't really do that with their digital music. You've got all this DRM built in. If you're not familiar with what DRM is, it's digital rights management that's built into it. A lot of algorithms and things like that that are built in to prevent you from copying the music over to other mediums and things like that. And I don't mean to get in the weeds on that, but the thing is that with this medium, you got an actual physical medium that you can hold and that you can say, this is mine. Now, whether or not you can play it in public, that's a different matter. That's a copyright matter. Okay, that's a copyright issue. But you've got this and you could play it at home as much as you want till it wears out or you break it or it, warps up because you left it in the hot car too long or something like that, whatever. Or kids sat on it or whatever. It's yours. Or unless it got stolen in the case of my CDs. But, or somebody borrows it and never gives it back. That's okay. I let it go. I let that go. So, that's the thing. That people, I think these days, there are a lot of people, there's a growing number of people who want that experience, who, they've got their digital music, but it's not the same thing. And they don't really own that digital music. And they can't always transfer it from one device to another. And, even though they paid for it, they don't really own it. But with a record, or say in the case of a cassette or a reel-to-reel or an 8-track or something like that, you have that physical piece of property that say, hey, this is mine and I can play it whenever I want, wherever I want, that means something. That definitely means something. So this is why we're seeing a resurgence in that sort of thing. I'd love to hear your comments on that and tell me what you think about that, because it's do you care? I mean, some people, they don't, like particularly some younger people, they really weren't exposed to that sort of thing and they're just listening to their MP3s or the digital music online. That's the quality. That's the only thing they know, and that's the quality they hear, and that's what they get. But you know what? MP3 format is a very lossy format. That's the other thing. When you're listening to it, and some people listen to them on AAC formats and things like that. That's WAV formats. It's a different thing. We're not going down that road right now. But let's say MP3s, which are probably the most popular format for listening to music on. The MP3 format is a very lossy format, and you lose a lot listening to the MP3s. You lose a lot of the frequency range for that audio in the MP3, because it has a limited frequency range. And then, of course, the more times it's copied down or transferred down, it gets lossier. So you kind of lose a lot over time. And you get artifacts in them. That's why when I do my podcast version of my show, I try to do it I do it in different formats. I do a WAV version, which is high-quality, uncompressed WAV file. And then I also do a version that you usually hear when you're listening to the MP3 version that's a lossier format. But I try to keep it at a higher quality. It's more expensive because that makes it a larger file, and that means it costs me more to store it And for the hosting site that hosts my podcast version, it costs more to for the space to put it on there because they're larger files. So I try to find a median, a happy medium to do that. So that's, and I got no weeds on that. We're talking about audio things, and I was really trying to get into the vinyl record, but that's one of the reasons why there is a resurgence in vinyl, because that analog sound, and because of the range that you can get with that sound, is much greater than what is being presented in these little MP3 files that people are hearing. Let's say, for instance, we had a Beyonce concert the other night here in Charlotte. I bet if a lot of those Beyonce fans were listening to her album on a high fidelity 33 1/3 RPM record, vinyl record, they would find a huge difference between what they listen to on an MP3, just listen to on their headphones on an MP3. And they might be surprised at just how better it is, in my opinion. But, that's my opinion. All right, now, Floral Legium's in the chat. And, I wasn't forgetting the chat. I just got off on a tangent. Floral Legium is in the chat, and it's great to see you here, Floral Legium, by the way. And Floral Legium says, honestly, I really would like to not care as much about materialism, but I can't help but agree and just really love owning physical medium. I'm right there with you. I agree with you 100%. There is a lot to be said with actually having the physical item in your hands. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people agree with you on that. Floral Legium also says, when it comes to audio quality, I feel like I've been to too many rock concerts as a teen for it all to still make a lot of difference because my ears are probably messed up anyway. And it says, Flora is fine, by the way. Okay, Flora, it's great to see you here, by the way. Thank you for joining us on the show. Yeah, it's... I hear you there too. I've been a few rock concerts in my day, and let me tell you something. That's the decibel level in some of those is just so intense. You know, people have lost their hearing permanently from a few of those. Of course, it depends on the venue, but it can hit the danger level sometimes. And you know, there are a lot of old rockers that have become pretty much deaf, mostly deaf. And it's actually pretty amazing that a lot of them can still perform on stage. And they'll admit that, they're pretty much deaf now, from doing it from 40, 50 years. And, you get some of these, especially some of these bands that I still listen to them sometimes. You know, some of the classic hair bands from the 80s. I went through my period while I was doing a lot of the listening to a lot of the hair bands in the 80s and stuff. And I still like to listen to some of them. Sometimes I listen to Cinderella and, of course, AC/DC Van Halen and all those guys. But as I mentioned before earlier in the show, I'm still a big Jethro Tull fan. I listened to Jethro Tull for years. I've been to a couple of Tull concerts. Great, fantastic. And let me tell you something. Ian Anderson is just a fantastic performer and a showman. It's really all about the showmanship on some of those things. But then again, that's why a lot of people would go to a lot of the Van Halen concerts, particularly in the early days. With whether you like him or not, whether you prefer David Lee Roth to his replacements, I it's still always entertaining to watch him because he was just such, he was such a wild man up there on stage, such a showman. And then add that to Eddie's guitar playing and Alex's, you know, they were fun to watch. They were as much fun to watch as they were to listen to. So, yeah. I listen to a lot of different music. Trust me, I listen to a lot of different music. I did go through my rocker phase, and I went through my. I listen to a lot of jazz these days. A lot of smooth jazz. It's usually what I listen to when I'm working, and I find that I find that it's much easier for me to concentrate on because I'm writing mostly the blogs for bytwowayradios.com. A lot of the stuff I'm doing is a lot of technical writing and things like that. And I find that's a lot more relaxing for me to kind of go lo-fi in that respect. I'm listening to a lot of smooth jazz in the background, you know, just slightly in the background while I'm working. I find that helps. It really does help. So, Flora, tell me what kind of wine do you like? Or if you don't like wine, what do you like to drink? What's your favorite drink? And I can tell you that I think it's time to present a book. Ed, you are someone else who needs a book here. All right. Before I go any further, I know I'm jumping the gun on this, but as you know, I have put out the official Drink with Rick wine tasting notebook. This was last year, and I've given away a bunch of them. I gave away a lot during the holidays, and we were playing our games, our various trivia games and things like that. Ed, you have one, I think, and a lot of other people have one, a copy of the official Drink with Rick wine tasting notebook. However, what you may not know is that I have a new book out. This is the official Drink with Rick beer tasting notebook. That's right. I have come out with the official Drink with Rick beer tasting notebook, and this is where you can go in and record all of your tasting notes for all of your favorite brews. Now, Ed, I know you're not really a wine guy, but I know you still drinking beer, right? Because I remember we popped open a few brews in back in the day. So this might be more your taste in this regard. I'll tell you what, Ed, I'd like to send you a copy of the official Drink with Rick beer tasting notebook. Would you like one of those? I think I'm going to send you a copy. You're going to get one. I reserved a copy for you anyway, actually, but I'm going to send you one and send it out to you. But also, Flora says, oof, I like wine, but I'm not too knowledgeable on wines. I just know I prefer red over white. I love red wines, too. And you know what? I like wine. I never really was a white wine person, but I've come to really appreciate some white wines. And we did a white wine, a couple of weeks back that I actually kind of liked. It was, where was it here? If I can still find it. Ah, La Femme, I bought a couple more bottles. This La Femme Julienne, and this was a really nice, this is more of a rosé than a white, but it's a really, really nice wine, and I picked this up at Trader Joe's, and it was like $6 a bottle, I believe. But you can go back and check that out, and it paired really well with a lot of different things that I tried. But I like that. Flora says, I like white sometimes, but for some reason, it seems to often give me a headache. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting because usually the reverse is true. A lot of people a lot of people don't like the reds because of the red wine headache that they get. And the reason for the red wine headache is because, I'm just checking. I'm looking at my control panel here. The reason is because with the red wines, there is a tendency for the tannins. If there are a lot of tannins in the red wine, it's actually a lot of the tannin that will cause the red wine headache and people will complain about it. And that's why some people don't like drinking red wines. They prefer the whites because the whites don't give them that headache. That's because usually the white wines don't have tannin in them. It's the reds that do. But they blame it a lot on the tannins, but it's not necessarily the tannins, which I think is one reason why you might be getting a white wine headache, not so much because of the tannins, but because of the added sulfites in the wine. All wine has sulfites in it, and it's to help, bring out the sugars, bring down the sugars. But there's a thing here in the U.S. Here in the U.S., we have a tendency to like wines with higher alcohol content. So what a lot of wineries will do is when they're making these wines, they will add additional sulfites. Sulfites will naturally occur in the wines when they're being fermented, when they're being made into wine. But there are a lot of wineries that will add more sulfites to the wine to raise that alcohol content, to produce more sugar and to raise that alcohol content and make it a lot higher, somewhat artificially. So lots of wines will say added sulfites. Some will say no added sulfites. But this can happen in reds, whites, and rosés. So what you might be experiencing is a wine that has a lot of added sulfites, which can cause the wine headaches. They're adding all those sulfites really isn't a good thing. That's why I like to keep, if I can, I like to promote organic wines. And this is not necessarily an organic wine, but we have reviewed a lot of organic wines on the show in the past. Continue to do that because I like the organic wines. But those that are not just grown, where the grapes are not just grown organically, but where they actually make the wine organically and not with added sulfites. They just make it occur naturally. And I think that's healthier for you anyway. But here's a little trick, though, Flora. Flora says, yeah, the tannins come from the skins, right? Yes, they do. They do. And Flora says, huh, that's interesting. I've definitely seen sulfites mentioned on wine labels. I'm not sure if they were added or not. Now, sulfites, most all wines are going to have sulfites to some degree, but there are sulfites that occur pretty much naturally, and then there's some that they add to raise the alcohol content. However, here's a little trick, and this is one reason why I keep this a bottle of water with me, and I drink it from time to time while I'm having the wine, as I'm doing now. It's not just to clear the palate between the wine. And by the way, this is what we had for pairing tonight. For those who missed it, for pairing with the wine, I'll show you that again later. But it's also to kind of cut that down a little bit, so that if you have a little bit of water, here's a trick: if you have a glass of wine and then you have some water in between the wine, that will actually help alleviate the chances. It'll help diminish the chances of having one of those wine headaches because it will kind of cut that down a little bit. So if you try that, and it's a trick that I learned from others who have told me about it. It's not something I learned on my own. Everything I learned the hard way. But I've tried it, and it works really well. If you have a glass of wine, you break it up with a glass of water or some water. You don't have to drink a whole bottle of it or anything like that. And you just have some water in between the wine. That will actually help alleviate the red, or in your case, maybe the white wine headaches, and that will help you. So Flora, I really appreciate your questions and your participation in the chat. So what I would like to do is, because you don't have one of these yet, I'm sure, I would like to send you a copy of the official Drink with Rick Wine Tasting Notebook. I think you'll enjoy that. And you don't have to be – look, this book is not made – well, yeah, professional wine connoisseurs can use it, of course. But it's really made for the every person. See, I'm not a sommelier by any sense of the word. I'm an everyman that likes to drink wine. And that's just like 99.9% of everybody else out there. I don't consider myself a wine snob to any degree. You know, because, yeah, I could sit here and, you know, a little pinky up and, you know, this is very astute. It's the tannins are quite mild and I can taste the cherry. That's not me. I know what I like and I know what I don't like. And if I like it, I'll drink it. If I don't, I won't. And I will tell you that I don't like it. Now, everybody has their preference for wine or beer, whatever it is. Everyone has a personal preference. And so just because some sommelier out there will say, well, this is something I don't like. You know, just because they don't like it doesn't mean I'm not going to like it. Everyone's taste is different. Even the trained palate of a sommelier or, you know, a professional wine drinker, if you will, just because they don't like it doesn't mean you're not going to like it. And I will defer to the story of Charlotte from Charlotte. As I often like to do on this show, it's not the first time I've mentioned it. Charlotte from Charlotte, I met her at a house concert for one of our neighbors who likes to do house concerts. And she said, oh, drink with Rick. You drink with Rick. Oh, great. I've got a wine recommendation for you. I'd like for you to try and review. And I said, okay, fine. What is it? She goes, I love Cooper and Thief. I love Cooper and Thief. She's a great wine. I'd never tried it before, actually. I didn't know anything about it. I'd seen it in the store, you know, this little squatty bottle and of wine, but I had never tried it, so I didn't know. And she said, oh, I love this wine. This is all I drink. I love it. You've got to review this wine. This is great. So go get the Cooper and Thief. So I did. I went out and I bought a bottle of Cooper and Thief, and I reviewed it on the show. You can go back and watch this review. And you'll find out if I like this wine or not. And it was nothing against Charlotte from Charlotte. I mean, she loved the wine. That's all she drank. But it was not a wine for me. It was just not my taste. It doesn't mean the wine was no good. It doesn't mean it was bad. It just meant that it was not my preference. So everyone's a little different. That's all. And that's okay. That's quite all right. Flora says, reminds me of my uncle in that respect. To me, he seems quite knowledgeable on wines, but he always insists he's not an expert or anything, just someone who likes wine. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Look, if we were all born wine snobs and sommeliers, and what a boring one of the world this would be. And if we all were, there wouldn't be any... There wouldn't be any Two-Buck Chuck or Mogan David or anything like that out there. It just, yeah. And it's nothing to put down those wines. I mean, definitely not for me, but there are some people that's what they like to drink. That's what they prefer. And they won't touch the other stuff because it's not for them. Everyone has their preference. And it's not to judge. It's not really to judge. Now, there are some wines that I will say, I wouldn't really recommend it. There's some that, I mean, obviously, I haven't liked every wine that I reviewed on the show. And I mean, various degrees, I've given them 1 to 5-star ratings or everything in between. But it's really because it's just a guide. It's just a guide for what you could try or what you like. And what I... Yeah, there's some wines I wouldn't recommend, but it doesn't mean that you can't go out and drink it if you want to. It's your choice. It's just that and I'm not trying to be a wine snob. It's what I'm just trying to do is just to serve as a guide for maybe if you haven't tried a wine and you're not sure about it. Say, for instance, if you want to buy a wine for a social event, a party or something like that, and you're not really sure and you want to press the guests, but you don't really know the wines, you don't know what they might like. And you know, usually in the social events, you're talking about a diverse range of people here. Everybody's going to have different palates. So you want to try to please everybody. And you can't please everybody, but you can try to kind of go for, doing the best you can, right? And that's really what this is meant to be, just kind of a guide to help you as to what you may like or you may not care for. It's okay, but I'm not trying to be judgmental on it. I'm just telling you what my personal taste is. That's all. As just an every man who likes to drink wine, just what I wouldn't drink. If you just take it as that and use it as just a general guide, then you're okay. But there's no hard and fast rule on this. There's no hard and fast rule on any of these wines. It's just what you like to drink and what you feel comfortable with. That's what it's about. X86 is in the chat, and it's great to see you, X86. I'm glad you're here. It's been a while. And X86 says, Flora, try a variety from a winery called Bonterra. Ah, yes, Bonterra's good. I've reviewed a Bonterra wine not too long ago. They are a smaller winery, but they do organic and biodiverse varieties. Everyone that gets headaches from non-organic wine seems to be able to drink anything from Bonterra. Yeah, there are some pretty good wines from Bonterra. Yeah, I'm trying to remember how far back I reviewed that one, but I think I did review one not too long ago. I can't remember if it was in season 3 or 4, maybe 5. And it says, Jethro Tull, I attended at least 2 concerts. Maybe we attended one together. Do you remember? Because I know I attended one with Pete Moltak and Jeff Pierce over at WOFL, my friends over at WOFL. I went to at least one concert with them. I may have gone to one with you as well. I can't remember, but I've been to a couple. Ed says, I got Abbey Road, the Beatles, the day it came out, not right after midnight, but later the same day. Wow, the original, I tell you what, those album covers are classic covers, and they are definitely collector's items. Ed says, the late Scott Campbell found and sold used vinyl records on eBay in a successful business for several years, usually classical for audiophiles. And you know what, Ed? I can't say for sure, but it's possible. You might have bought one for me because I was selling a lot of mine. Because I had a lot of classical records that I actually sold on eBay some years back. So maybe he bought one for me. I don't remember. I don't remember sending one to him, but he may have. By the way, Ed, I do want to take this moment, since Ed mentioned Scott, I do want to take a moment to remember our mutual friend here, Scott Campbell, who passed away just recently. And I was really, really sad. And Ed texted me a couple of weeks ago and let me know about that. And I was really sad to hear the news. Because pretty cool guy. And one of the things that I remember him for was a film that he made back in the day. Super 8, he was also doing Super 8 filmmaking like I was back in the day. And that's kind of how we met. And he made a film called Dracula Goes to College. And Ed, you remember the film. I know you remember the film. I think you were in the film. I think you were in it, weren't you? If I remember right, I don't know. My memory fails me because I haven't seen it in years. However, I think I did have either Scott or I think I did have Scott on the show. We were doing the Filmmakers TV show back on cable. And back in 1983, I think I did have him on an episode, and we showed part of the film, if I recall correctly. And didn't he do a Shakespeare in the Park? I think he did a Shakespeare in the Park kind of thing too, didn't he? I'm trying to remember what it was that we had him on the show for. But yeah, you can recollect my memory better than I can, because. But I do want to. I think he did something with Shakespeare in the Park at one time, if I recall. Also. Anyway, I want to take a moment to make a toast posthumously to our mutual friend Scott Campbell, who passed away. And here's to Scott. I don't know what else I can say, but because it's always very sad to hear when someone passes away. Anyway, here's to our friend Scott Campbell. And I want to say that I think I had Scott or Bill Chessman or maybe both of them on the show at some point. I'm trying to remember when I did that. And this was in the old Filmmaker show. I showed a part of an episode of Filmmakers some weeks back, a couple of months ago, with my friend Doug Torta, who had passed away also, and we had interviewed him on the show, and that was when Hilary Meister was the host. I think when we were interviewing, I think it was either Scott or Bill that we were interviewing on the show, I think that was when... I don't know if Hillary was hosting it then or if it was Jim. It might have been Jim Lee that was hosting it. I'm trying to remember if it was Hillary or Jim Lee that was doing it at that point. I think we had either one or both of them on the show at one point. I'll see if I can get that one transferred. I think I still have that show somewhere, and I'll see if I can get that transferred with some clips. But it was it was sad to hear about Scott's passing. Once again, here's to Scott, to the memory of our friend Scott Campbell. Okay, so Ed, I'm sending you a copy of the Beer Tasting Notebook, and I want to send. Let me get back to the chats here. Ed says DGTC was in the can when that was. When I first met him, the Prokofiev soundtrack music was played separately because he didn't have rights to the recordings. Ah, okay. DGTC is the acronym for he didn't have the rights to the recordings. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Anyway, DGTC is the acronym for Dracula Goes to College. I was actually going to try to contact Scott. I didn't know. I was actually going to ask Ed to see about contacting Scott because I was kind of interested in seeing if we could get around to maybe transferring that film, and maybe I could get the rights from him to show it here sometime on the show at some point here on Drink with Rick. I'm sorry to hear that he passed, though. Yeah, it's really a shame. He was a good guy, and a really, really good film. Really, really, really clever film that he did. And it was a feature film. That was the thing. He made a feature film before I made a feature. It was long before we made Space Apes. Floral says, I really wish I could hang around longer. I've only been able to catch you live a couple times because I'm in the Netherlands, and it's super late early here. The sun is about to come up here. I like the vibe here, but I should head out for the night. I hope you have a good rest of your stream and hope to catch you again sooner than later. Well, Flora, it's great. It's been great having you here on the show. Appreciate it. Look, by the way, I still want to send you this. I'm not sure what the rules are in sending a book out to the Netherlands, but I would be willing to try to do that. I'll have to see whether if you send me a shipping address to rick@savoymedia.com, rick@savoymedia.com, just send me a shipping address, and I'll see if I can get the book out to you if it's not going to cost too much to do that. I know usually I have a tough time sending it overseas anywhere other than in the U.S. But I would like to send you a copy if I can figure out how to do that to the Netherlands. So if you can, just once again, send it to rick@civilianmedia.com, and I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. X86, I know I can send you a copy, right? You don't have a copy of this, right? I want to give these. I'm going to give some of these away. I'm selling them for $8.99, just like the wine tasting notebook. I'm selling for $8.99 on Amazon, but I want to give some away to everyone here on the show. So I'd like to send one to you, and let me see. I don't know if I generally don't keep everybody's shipping addresses on me. So if you can just remind me and send it to rick@civilianmedia.com after the show, because I generally don't keep all that stuff on hand for your protection as well as mine. Floral says, I appreciate it, but if it's too much trouble, I understand. We'll see what we can do. And you send, send me the shipping address, and I don't do anything else with it, but just to ship the stuff out, and then I don't keep them. But I'll see what I can do. If I can, I'll try. I appreciate your being here. That's the thing. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for joining me. And Flora, I hope you have a great upcoming week, and I hope you're doing well there in the Netherlands. And it's just awesome. By the way, I have folks watching and listening all around the world. And just because they're not necessarily sitting here in this particular chat, once again, we multi-stream this show to four different platforms. We multi-stream it to Twitch and to Odyssey and YouTube and Facebook, although I haven't checked YouTube for a while. There you go. Okay, we're good there. But I also, and also the podcast. Podcast goes out worldwide. So I get folks listening and people watching groups, and they watch, in various venues. So it's just great. I'm just glad that everybody has a chance to get together and we can all watch together. So, by the way, you know, one of those things that kind of bugs me, I don't know if it, Ed says beer guide would be nice to have. Well, you're getting one, Ed, and I'm going to send one right to you. I appreciate it, my friend. One of the things that kind of bugs me about, I know, it's one of my pet peeves. I'm going to get on my pedestal for just a minute. Okay, one of the things that bugs me about YouTube videos, like this one. No, seriously, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. One of the things that bugs me about it, and I really like, and it's nothing against the people that are doing these YouTube videos. I mean, I have my favorite YouTubers. I have people that I watch, a lot of different people that I watch, and a lot of mostly instructional videos, things like that. And, I'm not going to mention any names, but you know who you are. Maybe. Some of them don't know me at all, but most of them don't. But I like to watch them. So I subscribe to them, and a lot of really great instructional videos and things on everything from photography to streaming to film, all the things that I'm interested in. And one of the things that they say in the end of the video, the way they close their video out, is they go, "And I'll see you in the next one." You ever see that? They go, "Yeah, that's so much for today's video, but like and subscribe and keep up with what's going on here, and I'll see you in the next one." That drives me up a wall every time I hear that, every time I see that, because they can't see me. They can't see me in any of these things. They're not watching. They don't know who's watching this, right? I mean, nobody. I mean, seriously, they can't see me. So, really? So, why do they say, "I'll see you in the next one"? Okay, I'm not going to say that. in the show. I mean, I say a lot of things, but I'm not going to say that to you in the show because that's disingenuous. In my opinion, that's disingenuous because I can't physically. Now, I see you in the chat. You're in the chat, and that's cool. And I love seeing everybody in the chat. But it would not be right for me to say, you know, just put up a video. Are we done laughing? Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're done laughing. But it would be disingenuous. It would be totally untrue for me to say, I'll see you in the next one, because I'm not even seeing you in this one. I can't see you. You can see me, but I can't see you physically. See you in, once again, I see you in the chat, but I can't see you physically in this one. And when I'm making a video, you know, that's going to be shown later on YouTube or whatever the venue is, I can't see the person at all. I'm never going to see them. You know, they can see me, but I think it's just, I don't know. It's just one of my pet peeves. It just drives me up the wall. And they always go, I'll see you next time. I'll see you in the next one. I'm thinking, no, you won't. I mean, I'll see you, but you're not going to see me. You don't even know who I am. Most of these people, they don't even know, the people who are making videos, not the people in the chats, because I acknowledge everybody in the chat, and I appreciate everyone in the chat, and I do. But when I'm watching some of these guys on these videos that I pick up off YouTube, it's like they don't know who I am. They don't even know I'm watching. They have no idea. So I don't know how they can see me. If they have some secret sauce where they can see me when I'm watching them after they've made a video and posted it on YouTube, I want to know all about that. I really do. Might be a little creepy, actually. But anyway, yeah, that's probably the one I'm talking. I don't have a beer to review this week, or I would have reviewed one. But we do review beers, and we review ciders, and next week, we're going to review a mead. Yeah, we're going to review the wine, but we're also going to review a mead, which is a honey wine, which is kind of something I've been really getting into lately and very helpful for you, from what I understand. It hasn't killed me yet. We'll see if I show up next week, but it hasn't. So anyway, I'm looking forward to trying out this mead and sharing it with you, and we'll see what... I mean, figuratively speaking, I know I can't physically share it with you. I know. But, by the way, I almost forgot. I keep forgetting to mention this, but every week, my son, Tom Antio, and by the way, he's in the chat, and he acknowledged in the chat, and I missed him, and I'm sorry, Tom. My son, Tom Antio, where is he? I saw him in the chat earlier. But he was joining in the chat and he's checking in. By the way, Tom Antio, I like the lights. Tom Antio says, I like the lights. So he's talking about the lights. The light show. It's supposed to be a light show. And I said it was going to be a short show. She's shaking her head again. You know, it's not. Anyway, he showed me these. He loaned me these. These are kind of cool. They're Nintendo cartridges, but they're actually coasters. They're coasters shaped like Nintendo cartridges. Let me go back to it. There we go. They're coasters. This is kind of cool. And he picked up these things. I don't know where he got them. It's a collection. He says, you got to show these on the show. So I'm showing them tonight. He had a set of four of them that he showed me. And I thought, these are kind of cool. But I haven't put anything on them because I didn't want to mess them up. Because he just gave them to me. He just loaned them to me. I didn't want to mess them up at all. Let's see, we got one for Donkey Kong and Zelda, The Legend of Zelda, and Excitebike. I don't know what that is. And Duck Hunt. You know, I've heard of three of these. Duck Hunt, Donkey Kong, Legend of Zelda, I've heard of, I know of, but Excitebike, I'm not familiar with, but sounds exciting. Anyway, so that's kind of our show tonight. I'm going to have to cut a short. But I tell you what, Ed, anyone else who's interested, stick around. I'll do a short after show where I'll re-show the confession for those of you who missed it last week. I'll re-show the confession, short film. It's only 2.5 minutes long. And then we'll after the credits. Anyway, I want to say that it's been great having you, everybody here tonight. And X86 says, I missed that. You go, ooh, mead, nice. X86 says, ooh, mead, nice. Yeah, I like mead. Mead's good stuff. And it's helpful for you. Anyway, so let me show you once again what we did tonight. And before we do that, I'm going to show you this one more time for those who missed it. I didn't take a picture from the side view, but this is for National Bowling Day. My lovely wife, Chi, made this bowling alley. So you can show it from another angle here. Bowling alley with the bowling balls made out of black olives and a bowling lane made out of cucumber. And then we have the bowling pins made out of carrot. She carved these out of carrot. Carrots, it's pretty cool. That was for National Bowling Day. And then, of course, from the top view, there's the in honor of National Vinyl Record Day, she made a vinyl record. And I think she said that was made out of chocolate. It is. It's made out of chocolate. It's a tortilla. The bottom is a tortilla, and the top is made out of chocolate, the grooves. And everything's edible here except the labels, I think. The labels were the only things that weren't edible. But so to my lovely wife, Chi, I want to say thank you very, very much. She did a fabulous job, as always. She really, really did a fabulous job. And as for me, I want to give her this whole thing, too. She did that also.
Oh, there you go. Oh, wow, that's a good one.
It was. It was an excellent one. By the way, and this is what we were drinking tonight. Let me give you the final review of this wine. This is called Domaine de Argentine. It's a terroir. I can't even say it anymore. Terroir selection. Excuse me. I'm just stumbling over my words here. Malbec. This is 13% ABV. It's a product of Argentina. And this is actually a pretty good wine, a pretty decent wine. It is cherry on the nose with a little bit of raspberry also there on the nose. And I could taste the cherry and the raspberry. Also tasted a little bit of oak in there. Very smooth, surprisingly smooth. It looks darker here on camera than it, I mean, it looks bolder. It looks like a really bold wine, but it's really not that. Excuse me, it's really not that bold. It's kind of it's fairly well balanced. It's kind of medium, and it's actually fairly light tasting, in my opinion. Medium light to medium tannins, and a very nice smooth finish. I rather like this Malbec, and it goes very well. It went pretty well with the meatball. It went pretty well with the cheese, although I think it kind of overpowered the cheddar cheese just a little bit that's on the plate. But what I will say is that I really liked overall. I think this would go good with a nice steak. I think it would go good with a nice burger. It would go good with a lot of different foods. It would go good with, I think it might go good with some chicken, stuff like that, some broiled chicken. Really more for red meats, but I think it's pretty decent. I like this wine. $5 and 2 cents, I think, is what the median price was online. And once again, I paid from Trader Joe's, I paid $4.99. So I think this is a pretty good buy for $4.99 for $5. I think this is actually pretty easy. It sure beats the $2, which is now $3, Chuck. sold from Trader Joe's. So I would, if you have the choice of buying a $3 chuck and a bottle of this Domaine d'Argentine, I would say buy this. You know, spring the extra for the extra $2 and buy this because it's well worth it. It's well worth the price. So I like it. And that's my final review. Okay, so I want to thank everybody here. We're going to close it up here tonight, and then we'll show the show after, or the show the film after the credits roll. But I want to thank everybody for joining me here on the show tonight. I want to thank my lovely wife, Chi, for everything she's done, including all the really nice presentation. I want to thank my good friend Ed for being here with me tonight, and. Yeah, you're getting a copy of the beer guide. X86, you get a copy of the beer guide that just you might have to remind me about. And by the way, if I want to thank X86 for being here. I want to thank everybody on Twitch who joined me here tonight. Milpulio, do you have a copy of this yet? If you're still watching, do you have a copy of this yet? Of the Drink with Rick Wine Tasting Notebook? If you don't have a copy of this, let me know. Send me your email. Or your email, excuse me, your valid shipping address to my email in an email. Send me your email with a valid shipping address to my email at rickisvoyamedia.com. If you're in the U.S., if you're outside the U.S., I might have problems getting it to you. But if you're within the U.S., just send it over, and I'll see if I can get you a copy, for free copy for that. And I really appreciate you joining tonight here and here on the show. And Flora, thank you for being here. I really, really appreciate it. And X86 and Tom Antio and everybody who joined us here. Also, everyone who joined us who was watching on Odyssey, thank you for joining us here as well. And also on YouTube and everyone else on Facebook as well. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. And I do appreciate you. I can do the show by myself, but it's a lot more fun when the more the merrier, you know, when everybody's in the chat. And once again, you steer the show. I'm just entertaining you. Ed says, I will stay for the confession. Bless you. Where's my rim shot? There it is. Anyway, thanks for being here. I do appreciate each and every one of you. And, of course, it is time, once again, to bring out your friend of mine, Roadkill Bill. Yeah, here's your close-up, Bill. Yeah. And, Bill, of course, he has a very important message for all of us. And his message is, please do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, whatever it is, wherever it is. If you have to go somewhere, just try to stay put, please. But if you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend who has not been drinking, whom you trust with the keys, and who has a valid driver's license, I would say, to drive you home. But otherwise, just pretty much stay put. Okay? It's safer for everyone involved. By the way, also, please don't text and drive. That's extremely dangerous. And Tom and I, we were driving back and forth to work a couple of times this week down to Rock Hill and back, and we encountered several people who were weaving around on the road and not paying attention, and turns out they were texting on their phones and looking at their phones, going 70 miles an hour on the road or better and looking at their phones and not paying attention to what's going on in front of them. That's extremely dangerous. Please do not, I implore you, please do not text and drive. It's not worth it. You can text people later. Just, or if you have to, if it's an emergency, pull over to the side and do it. But please don't text and drive because it's not only putting yourself in danger, it's putting others around you in danger as well. So please don't do it. Right, Bill. What he said. Because I care about each and every one of you, and I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.